We're seeing some shocking pictures in the Telegraph today. Two young boys posing in front of a war memorial, making threatening gestures, including the notorious one-finger jihadi symbol. And one of the boys is the younger brother of Sydney teen terror suspect and a student at Granville Boys High School. Now, following the terror attack in Nice last week, a timely reminder of just how many young boys are at risk of being radicalised. In fact, we're also hearing today the Prime Minister's ordered this Australian counter-terrorism agencies to urgently develop a strategy to prevent rapidly radicalised terrorists carrying out attacks in public areas. Now, Nice was certainly a wake-up call as to how terrorists can carry out attacks on large gatherings. And to talk about this very broad issue, someone we're very familiar with talking about this, actually, Professor Greg Barton, who's a counter-terrorism expert at Deakin University. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Ryan.
Well, I mean, we see those photos, and those that probably don't want to think those issues through too much will go, well, they're boys doing something they shouldn't be doing. But do you see there being a very sinister aspect of this sort of photo at that war memorial?
Yeah, look, as of July 2016, unfortunately, got to say there is. A couple of years ago, we wouldn't have said that. We would have said it was just boys being boys. But we saw, we've seen lots of images in the Newman Haider inquest of Newman Haider and his mates doing the same thing. Some of the same mates caught up with the Anzac Day plot the following year. And suddenly, you know, it's not just a case of young guys doing laddish things.
Yep.
It's an international network that's trying to manipulate them and use them into doing something really consequential. And Nice is the worst manifestation of that we can imagine. So the demonstration effect of looking at what one guy with a truck can do has got to have some impact on these young minds. And it only takes one of them to try something, for something to go beyond, you know, symbolism to a real tragedy.
So it's a very tough thing to try and counter, though, isn't it? We've got this symbolism. We've got to take it seriously. It's a symptom of something that could be very, very sinister. But how do we address it?
Look, we've got some grounds for feeling a bit confident in that we know most of the networks and most of the individuals. Having said that, that's led to success in stopping, you know, at least 700 from travelling to Syria to join Islamic State. And in a couple of hundred cases, there's been such serious evidence that the passports have been seized or not issued. The trouble is, how do we follow up those hundreds of kids who we know many of them are frustrated and talk boldly about doing stuff?
Damn, yeah.
When they look at scenes of what Bulel did with his 19-ton truck in Nice, the danger is one of those frustrated kids who has been stopped from travelling, even though we know about them, even though we keep an eye on them, they'll find an opportunity to slip away and do something.
Well, it's only going to take one, isn't it, as we've seen?
Yeah, absolutely, it takes one. The fact that they have this idea of a suicide mission where they become a hero, the sort of zero-to-hero thing, the fact that they now see you can use an ordinary heavy vehicle, which is all around you, and that they're completely undiscriminating in their soft targets, well, that combination of things is very hard to fight against, even when you're watching people.
Yeah. Do you think a part of the big problem, of course, is this term lone wolf? So you've got people who are effectively loners, maybe vulnerable, that they're the ones that are being preyed on. They may not even be Muslim initially.
Well, it's a good point. You know, the Prime Minister, of course, has asked security agencies and his chief coordinator of counterterrorism, Greg Moriarty, to look at this. And I think it's basically a timely stock take. I mean, in security and defence, it's easy to fall back on sort of fighting the last war because you've spent so long developing discipline and routines and procedures that the inertia carries you forward and you end up doing the right things for the previous threat but not actually addressing the new threat. And in the last 2 years, we've seen things change a lot. There's been a lot of nimble adaptation by Islamic State.
Yep.
They've done two things that particularly concern us. They've gone after school-aged teenagers and they've gone after people with mental health issues and personality disorders. And they've also, of course, used social media and social networks to access people and recruit them very radically, much more quickly than we saw Al-Qaeda ever doing. So that combination means we could have somebody who has no record of terrorist involvement, but in the space of weeks, certainly a number of months, goes from being, you know, somebody who has no threat to somebody who's been used as a weapon.
Yeah, so it could happen very, very quickly. And look, you mentioned social media. That's been a game changer, hasn't it? Because these who want to radicalise young people can reach out to them alone in their bedroom, you know, literally alone in their bedroom.
We've seen that happen many times. We've seen young Australians who have gone to Syria reach out to other young Australians who are back in Melbourne or Sydney and people in their bedroom. There's one kid in Melbourne a year ago. It was only a mate signing up an national hotline and saying, I think something's wrong with my friend. you know, we saw that those images of the bomb squad moving in and retrieving three bombs. That's a different sort of threat than we were facing in the past. On the one hand, the authorities are dealing with a whole order of magnitude increase, sort of roughly a tenfold increase, the number of people we've got to pay attention to. And you've got families quite legitimately saying, look, I know he or she's been a bit out of sorts of late, but I don't see them being a terrorist, but actually finding that something's in their ear, from perhaps as far away as Syria, or in the case of the Anzac Day plot, as a, you know, another kid in England directing his new mate's other side of the globe. That's a different sort of dynamic than we saw in years past.
I've got to also ask you on a sort of separate issue, but still obviously within your domain. We're hearing today the Brazilian police have arrested 10 members of an amateur would-be terrorist group targeting the upcoming Olympics. Do you think the Games are going to be a problem?
Look, it's hard to know what to make of this news. I mean, they seem very chuffed to announce it, and you know, to be fair, maybe they've been really agile and they've caught something early on, and that's a good achievement. The worry is that they may only have got the tip of the iceberg, but there may be much more out there that they haven't caught yet, including people who are more professional. Of course, the other worry is that we're going to see tens and tens of thousands of people flooding into Rio and other sites for the Games. Although there's going to be a lot of security checks and analysis, there's always the danger that somebody coming in from out of town may come in with the intent to do something. Mm-hmm. And of course, for the reasons we've been discussing, they may be somebody who has no record of involvement with extremism, who presents no risk profile. And given what we can see about the preparations for the Rio Olympics in terms of infrastructure, in terms of, you know, something as simple as the quality of the water in the bay, they haven't got their act together. And if that's reflected behind the scenes in the security and intelligence work, then we should be concerned.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's deeply worrying to hear you say that, but if that's the way it is, I guess, you know, better be warned than caught out at the time.
I think the key thing for listeners to take away from this is as they're travelling, it's probably still the case that terrorism's not the big risk, but crime certainly is. So just, you know, be very, very careful as you're going.
Okay, appreciate your time as always.
Cheers, thanks very much.
From Deakin University, counterterrorism expert Professor Greg Barton. It's 12:45. This is Warren Moore for Chris Smith.